For a person to be a member of a church, is your pastor has probably touched on that, so we're just going to touch on, he's probably preached on that, so we're going to touch on that a little bit, but what does God have a plan for the church, and what is every person's part of that plan? And I get to preach several different places a year and then preach at Temple Baptist Church. I think there's a bit of confusion, too much discussion about what the church was designed for. And so we're just going to go to God's Word and look and see what the Bible says about God's Word and then find out, are you part of that plan? That's what the purpose of the message is. So if you've gotten to Ephesians chapter number 3, if you can and will, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read down into chapter number 4, just a few verses there. Verse number 13, chapter 3, verse number 13. Of course, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I therefore," now because of this, "I therefore." So because of the previous statement that he's made, he's going to give them some further understanding of their responsibility. So he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." This morning we're going to look at, with God's grace, we're going to look at the power that we should have to bring glory to God in the church by Christ Jesus. The reason you're gathered here today in the name of Jesus Christ is not so that you can get some kind of help. We're here for one reason, to glorify God. That's why we've gathered. If we're not bringing glory to God in the church, it's because we're not doing what the Bible says. That's what we're going to look at. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and for your word, for revealing yourself to us. Thank you, God, for the folks that are here this morning. I pray you'd bless them. Encourage us in your word this morning. And if there is one here that has never accepted Christ, I pray they would see the importance of a relationship with Jesus Christ so that they can understand that their home is in heaven and that they are part of a bigger thing than just living on earth. The part of bringing glory to you on this earth. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and I love it because we get a lot of good instruction in the Bible about what a church is and how we are to function as a church. And there is certainly a lot of functionality here that's mentioned. But the primary reason for the church on earth is to bring glory to God. And there are ways that we bring glory to God. And in this message, we'll talk about bringing glory to God. But the primary reason for us even being here today, the reason Brother Ben came here, the reason that you're here today, is not so that we can gain something for ourselves, but so that we can give glory to God and reveal God into this present world by Christ Jesus. In fact, Jesus is the one who told the disciples, "You're going to be my witnesses." Jesus is the one who gave the Great Commission that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Holy Spirit of God inspired the writers of the New Testament to give us direction in how we should grow in the church and who we're supposed to be in the church and how we're supposed to function together in the church. And certainly the Bible is full of this idea that a person isn't just in a church to sit like a bump on a log. They're in a church to bring glory to God, and he's enabled each one in the church to do something. Now, it doesn't have to be spectacular. It could be cleaning the restrooms. It's doing something with one purpose, bringing glory to God. Not to be recognized by the congregation, not to be recognized by the people, by the pastor, not to be only serve the pastor. There's a design that God has for the church to function properly, and that functionality is given to us in with good direction. So our job, and the reason we're here, is our responsibility is to bring glory to God. How do we do that? Well, he gives us some indicators here, what it's going to take for a person that's a member of a church. Now, what does it take to be a member of a church? Again, probably Pastor Ben has spoken about this, I'm sure, and preached about it, but a person, first of all, must be born again. They must know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They must understand that Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Baptism is not the only way. Baptism is not the way into that relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not part of that way. It's a picture, but it's not. So people say, you know, there's a belief. Church is people who are baptized. Well, baptism is not all there is. First, a person must know where they're going when they die. You can't glorify God if you don't know if you're saved or not. I mean, that has to be settled. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Coming to church doesn't make you a church member. It does not cause you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that will take you to heaven. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. So the Bible's very clear, not by works of righteousness. We can't do anything to earn God's favor. We cannot be acceptable to God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all. Everybody's born a sinner. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those verses tell us right there what Jesus told the disciples. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no other relationship with God except one, Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, then this doesn't make any sense. The church is put on earth to do good works. That's part of glorifying God, but that's not why we're here. The church is here to feed the multitudes. That's not why we're here. We're here to bring glory to God, and these things work together to bring glory to God, but it first starts in us, how we bring glory to God. And so he says here, for this cause, verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So the first responsibility for a person who is born again is to be strengthened by the Spirit of God in the inner man. How do you get that strength? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. I must be strengthened in the spirit to bring glory to God in the church. It's a growth process. It doesn't happen immediately, because he says right there that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Whose love? Christ's love. So, I get saved. My responsibility in bringing glory to God is to grow up. Now, I think if you have children, you can catch this. People who have younger children, especially two, three-year-old children, they're such a blessing, and they are. I'm not saying, but at times they lose their minds. They do. Let's just be honest. You're talking to them, and I have a little 2-year-old grandson, And I was sitting, and his mom was telling him something to do. And he didn't want to do it. And he had just been spanked. I'm talking about 10 minutes earlier, just been spanked for doing what he was getting ready to do. Only now, instead of standing at his mom and saying no, and her being able to grab him and help him understand that no is not acceptable, and to you who don't agree with that, that's just, it's what the Bible says. And so you're supposed to drive Satan out of him, and they've got it in them, because he goes to the end of the couch now, and he goes, no! And I went, I mean, the grandfather, you know, grandfather's supposed to be kind. I'm like, oh. I went out to the garage. I knew what was coming next. She got right up. I heard, ah! And let's be honest. There's no person who wants their child to be like that for the rest of their lives. Right? If they're 30 years old, sitting in the basement, playing video games, and you tell them to take out the trash, and they go, ah! It's time for them to get a job. If I had a 30-year-old person up here and I was holding him, rocking him like this, most people, yeah, it'd be more like this. No, it'd be like this, rock-a-bye, baby. And I'm not trying to mock or make fun. I'm just making a statement of fact. If I had a 30-year-old person up here and they went, every one of us in here would go, come on, there's something not right. Right? It's not a mockery of those who may have mental deficiencies. It's an observation. We know what's right and what's not right. Okay? A Christian that's going to bring glory to God cannot remain a baby. If they've been saved 1 or 2 years, they should act 1 or 2 years old. And if they've been saved 5 or 10 years, they should act 5 or 10 years old. They should grow up being rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not save us to cause us to walk around on this planet like we're not saved. He saved us to grow up and be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. So when troubles come, I go to Him and I reflect Him. When I lose my job, I can say, glory to God, He's going to take care and provide for me. Hey, it's not like I'm happy about it, but I can find joy and rejoice in it because I'm grown up. Look, can you agree with this? We live in a generation today where some people's kids, because I don't know your kids, so I'm not going to call your kids out, but some people's kids that are, let's say in their 20s or 30s, they call them millennials. Would you say that we've raised up a generation of people who go, me, 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 what are you going to give me? How are you going to take care of me? I want, I want. When most of us in this room understood this, we had to grow up and get a job to get what we wanted. I mean, that is the world we live in, all over the world. Why? Because people are not growing up anymore. Everybody wants to be treated like a baby. I'm sorry. That's where we live. I want the government to take care of me. I want the church to take care of me. Here's what people say in church. Let's just do this. The people come in and they go, well, if the pastor's not preaching something that encourages me, then I'm going to have to leave and go find somewhere where I get fed because this is the only time I'm going to eat. How many of you eat once a week? Why? Would you be really hungry by now if you only ate once a week? Most of us eat at least a couple of times a day. Now, I've been with the pastor, okay? The man does not eat. We're out. No, we went golfing. He's like trying to be all cool. Let's go golfing. And we go golfing, and I'm dying of hunger inside. He goes, we don't have time to eat. We have to go. I'm like, do you ever eat? Man, terrible. My stomach is growling. I mean, I don't know how he couldn't hear it. And I'm like, you know why? Because I get hungry. Christians should be more hungry for the Word of God than just on Sundays. They should desire it every day. Job said, I desire His Word more than my necessary food. How do you grow up? Nutrition. the right kind of nutrition. As a Christian, you grow up, you're rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. To understand Christ, in Philippians he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I don't want to be just a baby. Listen, babies can't bring glory to God. They do for a while. They bring a spark. They bring a charge. But if they stay babies and they start disconnecting from the love of Christ and they start walking away, look, we're not at church to get. We're at church to give. That's what we're here for. You say, well, have you preached this at Temple Baptist Church? Yeah, I've told them the same thing. Why? This is church. This isn't just for this church. I don't know anything about this church. I just know this. Most people today have the heart and attitude. And again, I don't know you, so don't take offense to it. Because people go, I don't know you. Brother Ben hasn't told me. But most people that come to church today, they ask, and I don't know, I wasn't here, but I'm sure in the early days, it's like, well, do you have a kids program? Do you have a junior church program? Do you have a Sunday school program? Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have that? Well, we'd love to have that if God blesses us with people who would love to come in and take that, because I can't preach at the pulpit. My wife can't play at the piano or be in the church service and do what she's supposed to and all of those other things. But I'll tell you what, if God's moved on your heart and you're saved and you'd like to come in and see what happens, see, and then people go, well, if you don't have that. Folks, we live in a world where people want everything handed to them, and it's no different in the church. That's why we're given direction to grow up, to be rooted and grounded. And he says this, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, when you grow up, you begin to mature and understand things. It's not okay to stay back here at salvation level. It's great to be saved. It's awesome. I love it. I still can't believe that Jesus would die on the cross for my sin and save me and take me to heaven. But see, also, he wants me to grow up and understand. He told the disciples, I came to bring them life and life more abundantly. He doesn't want to save us to make us walk around in this world like this. Woe is me. I got to go to church today. Heard they're having a big bouncy slide. Adults can't get on it. What good is that? I kind of agree with that, I just want to say. But what are they going to give me today? I'm not here, but if this church is like our church, every week we get somebody calling us saying, do you have a fund to do this? Do you have a fund to do this? Do you have a fund to do this? My answer is, hey, if you'll come to a church service, we'll sit down and talk afterwards. I'm not turning people away because I don't want to help them. But I'm telling you, that's not why we're here. We're here to cause Christians, people to get saved, so that Christians will grow up for one reason, to bring glory to God. Come on, think about America. I love America. I've traveled all over the world. I love coming home. I love it. There are places in the world I am so thankful God did not put me. So thankful I was born in America. But let's be honest. America's not what America was when I was a kid. I'm not mad about it. I'm not blaming anybody either. I'm not going to get involved in the political fray. Do you know Christians aren't called to get involved in that? They're called to render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's and render unto God the things that are God. If you have a voice and you give it, that's fine. I'm not talking about the political agenda of the world. I'm talking about the world used to be here, and now it's here going down, down, down. People, have there been more attacks and killings than ever before? Yeah. If you think the world's getting better, you need to wake up and smell the coffee, because it's not. Well, it's leading somewhere. I'm not a doom and gloom person. Here's the awesome thing. It's leading somewhere. Jesus, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said perilous times are going to come. That at the end times, people are going to be lovers of their own selves. That's where we live. The world is declining. Why? Because God has a plan. He's revealing himself to man. What's the job of the church? The job of the church is to stay focused on the God who saved them. the relationship with Jesus Christ. He says that you can, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wouldn't it be amazing if every Christian grew up and they were so full of God that everywhere they went, oh, you go to Valley Avenue Baptist Church. This is what people say about Temple Baptist Church. Oh, you go to Temple Baptist Church. That's where they believe the Bible word for word. Are you one of those? Yeah. Why? Well, I'm not smart enough to figure out God's secret agent plan. In fact, I don't know anybody who is. People say, well, there's a secret code. Oh, is there a secret code? What does the secret code say? Well, there's got to be something. There's something deep. Okay. I won't even have the argument. Because I'm telling you, man is so finite, we cannot comprehend the fullness of God. And right here he says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, which tells me God.